Agoraphobia, fear of open spaces. Acrophobia, fear of heights. Bear with me on this one. It's hard to pronounce. Pteromenehanophobia, fear of flying. Entomophobia, fear of insects. Ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. This one I didn't quite get the Latin behind, but cynophobia, fear of dogs. Astrophobia, fear of storms, in particular the lightning and the thunder. Trypanophobia, fear of needles. And number one, social phobias. People fear judgment of others. These are all anxiety disorders that are excessive self-consciousness, and some people are so fearful of judgment by others, would you believe that they are also afraid to even eat in front of other people? 1 in 20 people have some type of social phobia. Now, today's gospel talks a lot about fear. And fear is one of the most powerful, influencing emotions, forces that we know in our human experience. I've just named 10 of them, and the list really is quite long. Perhaps you identified yourself in one of those phobias, or maybe you can name one of those others on the list. We all have fears, and I'm certain that Jesus' disciples had them too. So let's set the stage for today's gospel. A few verses before this, Jesus is sending out his disciples to preach the good news, the gospel message, God's kingdom come near. And they're being sent out not amongst the Gentiles, not amongst the Samaritans, but to the lost sheep of Israel, their own people. And to top it off, he says, I'm giving you the power to cure the sick, to cast out demons, to raise from the dead. They've seen Jesus do this. Jesus is promising them they can do this. And yet, I am certain the disciples still had some fear. At the beginning of this text, we hear the disciple, a student, if you remember from last week, disciples are students, are no greater than the master. If Jesus, the master, were called Beelzebub, Satan, then they too should be expecting to be called names, to be slandered. Jesus, after all, was a bit of a radical, wasn't he? He challenged the teachings of the Pharisees and of the rabbis of his days. Those people would get so caught up in the law that they missed, oftentimes, God's forgiveness, love, that was in the law, that was in the scriptures. Jesus was an innocent man who they feared would take away their power. They feared Jesus' words so much that they put an innocent man to death. This scripture is another part in Matthew's series about committed discipleship. Great title today, Discipleship Training 2. We had part 1 last week. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for the things that they are going to encounter. If Jesus is being ridiculed, they should expect that they're going to ruffle feathers too. And think about it. All 12 of his disciples, except for Judas and John, are traditionally known to have been martyred, put to death for their faith. Judas, of course, committed suicide. John was said to have lived out an old life on the island of Patmos. Now this, I want to make clear, by no means does it mean that all disciples of Christ are going to be martyred. And that means you, okay? Jesus is not all gloom and doom either. He gives them words of encouragement, telling them, don't fear those who persecute you, who slander you. they really can't do that much to you because it's God who has your body and your soul. God valued the disciples more than the sparrows, more than the number of hairs on their head, and God values you, beloved children of God, more too. And armed with this knowledge, they are supposed to go out now and talk to their fellow Jews, to share the good news of God's kingdom come near, that they have these powers. Wow, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be amazing to have? Power to cure the sick, cast out demons, and raise from the dead. And yet Jesus knows their fears. Jesus knows that fear can be crippling, and they must be prepared to face their fears. After all, they're disciples. They're still in training. And Jesus promises that if they stand up for him against the world, he will stand up for them. It's not going to be cozy. They're going to confront family members, friends, who will argue and disagree with them, maybe call them names. But it might cut them to the heart, and they will mean well. When they put God's kingdom first, they'll find Christ in themselves. Well, you may be thinking, okay, that's all well and good. That was Jesus' time, but what about today? If you remember last week, Pastor Terry talked about discipleship training and how you are sent out as apostles. When we gather here in worship, part of the time, we're training, we're being taught, we're hearing God's word, and then we're being sent out to be apostles in the world. We are sent out, and so here is today's training. Consider how our world today really is not that different than it was in Jesus' day. We still have our poor, our orphans, our widows. We have homelessness. We have oppression. We may differ in our political opinions, and it's very wide in the chasm today. But you know what? It doesn't matter. All our opinions are valid. All of our opinions should be gathered together. We should be working together for the common good of all God's children. And who are all God's children? Every one of us, yes. Every person on earth is a child of God. We have a plethora of religious opinions today. Up until a few decades ago, it seems that you would just come to the U.S. or you grow up in the U.S. and you would assume that your next door neighbor would be a Christian. It never really was that way, but more people confess Christianity than do today. It was that way in Jesus' time too, wasn't it? We had the Romans and their religions, the various gods that they worshipped. We had the Samaritans that disagreed with the Jews. What did we see in today's world? Still, and it's actually been happening for centuries, there's been disagreements between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants, hasn't there? Oftentimes it resulted in war. We still have that today. And even among the Jews, there were and still are different sects of belief. Looking at that today, are we really all that different from Jesus' day? The reality is that the gospel message will not always be welcome. And like the disciples, we can't always expect that people will hear our message and accept it. Jesus taught his disciples. They preached and taught others, who taught others and taught others. And still we continue to be taught and pass on that knowledge today. And when we share the good news of salvation through the cross of Christ, there are scoffers who will make fun of us. Do we speak for Christ? Or in our fear, do we hide and stay silent? Fear rejection by family and friends can be quite the motivator for silence. When I was working outside of ministry, we would often gather around the water cooler, the coffee pot, and we'd be talking about things that we did on the weekend. What was the latest score of the game? What did we do over the weekend for entertainment? Did we plan a vacation? Did we come back from a vacation? Every so often, you could hear someone say, well, they went to worship services on a Sunday. And maybe you would hear somebody question, well, what was that? And you might hear them say that it was worship of God. It was sharing the good news that Christ died for us and lives for us. And we are all God's children. It didn't always open up to questions of faith, but some might ask some questions. So I think about this, and I think we are all Christians. We all are loved by God. And when you love something as much as like watching a football game and sharing the score or going on vacation, how different is it to share the love that's inside of us with others with that same excitement? To say, I went to worship and I was excited and this is why. Fear is the only thing that may stop us. And I'm not suggesting a hail fire and brimstone kind of message. Jesus was big on relationship. Grow those relationships and share with those people around you in relationship God's love and forgiveness. Love for others should always be our guide. Perhaps you've planned or started a project and then realized it was more than you could handle. Did you simply give up out of fear of that? Thomas Edison is a good example. He invented the light bulb, and by the way, for a few of you, that's before we had all these LEDs. Yeah. Thomas Edison recorded in his journal his attempts to get the light bulb working. How many times did that happen? 2,774 times before he finally got a working light bulb. Yeah. And Thomas Edison held a number of patents, actually, and he was asked oftentimes about his failures. Thomas Edison was famous for saying, I did not fail 10,000 times, but successfully found 10,000 ways that will not work. Yeah. Fear of failure can stifle us, or it can help us discover new ways of doing things. Perhaps fear of sharing our faith keeps us from discovering a deeper joy in relationship and identity in Christ. This week, as we're sent out into the world as apostles, that is, we're sharing the good news with other people, I invite you to consider your own fears. Think, what might be holding you back from sharing the love of Christ with others? Think about what might be holding us as a congregation back from working, doing, and showing the love of God to those in the community around us. Go to the cross with your fears. God's expectations really are simple. Micah 6:8 says it quite well. We are to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.